Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Here we go. Microphone problems. All right, I'm so excited about today because yesterday we had the most amazing day here at BVC and all over Lake Worth. The teams were out. It was Serve Day 16, and that was we partnered up with over 300, almost 400 churches from all over the United States, a couple of different foreign countries as well, and chose that day as Serve Day 16, where we would get outside the church and serve our community and just let our light shine. Amen? It was so fantastic, and it went perfectly with the series that we're doing, which is Ignite Your Life. Because we started out with, you know, finding that spark that God has placed on the inside of each one of us. And then the next week, we looked at the Word, how to ignite that spark, how to get it burning. And then last week, we talked about fanning the flame. Remember I told you the story about my mom when she would always do the campfire and she'd get that paper plate out and she would fan the flame. It was a process. And before you knew it, what started as just a little tiny ember, a little tiny spark would just burst into a flame, a campfire. How many love a good campfire? Amen? You know why we love campfires? Because when you have a campfire, you can have a s'more. Right? Now, if you don't know what a s'more is, you need to live a little. Amen? You need to live a little. You need to get out and you need to get some new friends. Because if your friends don't know what a s'more is, you need new friends. Amen? You definitely need some new friends. That'll preach right there. But anyway, so we started talking about fanning the flame, and that's exactly what we did yesterday, is we fanned the flame on the inside, because we know that we can't change the world just us by ourselves, right? We can't do everything, but we can do something. And we learned that lesson from Jesus when he's over in Mark chapter 6. You don't have to turn there, but in Mark chapter 6, most of us in here know that story. It's the feeding of the 5,000. And when Jesus looked at all the people that needed to be fed, and he asked, "What do you have?" And all they had was a lunch. Remember that? All they had was a little boy's lunch, but they took what they had, and when Jesus blessed it, as they begin to give it out, that's when it multiplied. Amen. You get that? As they started giving out what they had, then it multiplied. Sometimes we want to wait for it to multiply, then we'll give it out. And that we're like, oh, I can't do everything, so I don't want to do anything. No, Jesus showed us by example that when we take what we have and give it out, it begins to multiply, and that flame begins to burn even brighter. Amen? And so we're going to show you yesterday how we took what we had and we gave it out to the community. How many want to see what happened yesterday? Oh, Serve Day 16. It was awesome. Go ahead and roll it, guys. Praise the Lord. What a great day we had yesterday. And one other thing that they went a little bit later, we also had a team of people that went to the nursing home to love on the people there, minister to them, pray for them, do some songs and things like that. And so we just had teams everywhere doing something. It was fantastic. I want to say a big thanks to Macho Cintron up there in the sound booth, and Ben for doing all the filming and the video. They did a great job. So make sure you mark your calendar for, watch out for our next Serve Day, just getting out there. And it brings us to we're going to close up our Ignite Your Life series today. This is the last part of it. And that is that we're going to let our light shine. Amen? How many agree that in the times that we live in, with everything going on, it seems like every day... microphone, technical problems, but it just seems like every time you turn the news on, it's just something worse, right? Something worse, something more catastrophic, something more deadly, more lives lost, more hatred and things like that. And so if there was ever a time in the world that we need to light up our world, it's now, amen? Because we've learned, we've talked about it in these last few weeks, that the government is really not the answer. More money's not the answer. We have tons of money in the U.S., and it's obviously not the answer. The answer to our problems is Jesus. The answer to our problems is godliness. And so today we want to look at John chapter 8, verse number 12. You know, we want to close out our series, Light Up Your Life, and there's a purpose for the fire and for the passion that God has put on the inside of you. Everybody has it. Everybody has something. You feel that tug in a certain direction. You know, when yesterday, the place that they painted, that was the Children's Home Society. That's Palm Beach County. It's a governmental organization. But what they do, they have a home there, and they take in homeless single mothers. I want to make sure I say it right. Homeless single moms that don't have anywhere to go. Usually they don't have any job training. They don't have any family. They take them in. They live within the community there. They have their own little space. They get job training. They get life skills. They get parenting skills. They have a place to live. They have the support they need. The girl, Wendy, who every week you see our box out here, that's where she lives. She has two children. She's 16. And, you know, there's a part of us that kind of says, like, you know, wow, that there's obviously some problems there. But we can't just leave it a problem, amen? We need to make sure she gets the help that she needs. And so every month as a church, we don't know her. She's not a part of our church. She's a stranger. But that's what Jesus said. Jesus said we're to help strangers, amen? But every month as a church, we send over, we send a box of stuff over. It has whatever she needs. It has diapers. It has formula. It has all kinds of things. And so the place where they were painting, that's that place. And so it's just such a great organization. And as soon as, you know, you walk in, you just want to make it better. You want to make it better. But you know who was over there painting? Anais, who's over our nursery, she has a tug. The Lord pulls her in the direction of helping babies, making sure they're safe, making sure they know the love of God, giving them the best chance they have in this world. Amen? And so that's where, as soon as the sign-ups went, oh, that's what she's going to do. Your heart pulls you in a certain direction. God has put a passion on the inside of you. And the thing is, we want to fan that flame of passion, and we want to help you start where you are. We can't start changing the world. We start changing one life. Amen? And so when we look here in John chapter 8, is that what I said? John chapter 8? John chapter 8, verse number 12. This is when Jesus was talking. He said, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. How many believe the world needs some more light? There's so much darkness in the world. And so when we read this, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. Oh, isn't that good? Isn't that good? When we see the darkness of the world and we see things that are happening, let that scripture rise up in you and remind yourself, I follow Jesus, so I will never walk in darkness. Amen. The light of the world is in me. Jesus is in me. So the light of the world is in me. Turn over to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to talk about how to light up our world today. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 16. You can follow along on your Bible app if you want. It says this, you are the light of the world. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. Talking about you. You are the light of the world. And it says, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Verse number 15, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You know, yesterday when we were working on the house across the street, we had a sign out that said, love in action. And it just says, love like Christ, love in action. And as people were walking their dogs and driving by, they would get to that sign and they would go really, really slow. And they would read it and then they would look at the people and they were like, wow, that's pretty, you know, that's pretty neat. And the thing is, what happened? They could see our action, and it was the light that's on the inside of us. Amen? All over, everywhere everyone went, that light was shining. And so when we read this, Jesus, I want you to notice a couple things here. He says, you are the light of the world. So often we're looking for somebody else to be the change, someone else to be the answer, someone else to bring light into darkness. But Jesus said, you are the light of the world. It's a responsibility that we carry. And he says, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. You don't turn the light on and then put something over it to cover it up, do you? Because then what's the purpose of turning the light on? No, he says, let your light shine before men, because instead they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. That's us. We give light to everyone in the house. Who's the light of the world? We are. Amen. Our lives are to be a reflection of Jesus. He says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds. You know, so often in the world that we live in, everybody just wants to talk about stuff. Isn't that right? I mean, I think that's one reason why Facebook is so popular, because everybody just wants to talk about stuff. You want to tell everybody how you feel. You want to tell everybody what's going on. You want to talk. Or we can say type, right? That, you know, it's all about talking. But Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Let people see what you say. Let people see. No, he's saying, let people see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. As people see the light in us, being brighter, and they see that through our good deeds, it's going to bring glory, not to us, it's going to bring glory to the Father. Amen? And so when we look at this, I want you to notice this. This is a big idea for you. The greater the fire of God in our heart, the brighter our light will shine in the world. How many of you have an iPhone? Anybody have an iPhone? I got one. And you know, one of the things about an iPhone is that it has this little brightness thing on it. You can turn it all the way down, and look, you can barely see it, right? Because the light is there, right? But it's really not shining very bright. And you know, if I could see myself spiritually, if I could see myself spiritually, would this be my light? Hopefully not. The light is there. We're born again, but our light is just so dim. Or the more that we know God, the more of His love we have in us, it's just like this little button on your iPhone. As I turn up God in my life, it turns up the light. And now look what you can see. You can see Gilby's big face. Amen. He's a cutie, right? Every time anybody sees his face, they always say, that's a face only a mother could love. And I'm like, well, I guess so. I love him. I think he's adorable. But the greater the fire of God in our heart, the brighter the light will shine in the world. Amen? It's kind of like just the greater that we just turn up God on the inside of us and yield to Him and make way for Him. It's like just taking our finger and lighting ourselves up, where we light up wherever we go. And so we're called to be the light. It's a call for boldness and responsibility. Jesus said, you are the light. You are the light. We got to own that, right? We've got to own it and say, yeah, you know what? We're it. We got to stop looking for someone else to be the answer, looking for somebody else to bring light in a dark time, looking for the government or laws to change how the world is. And we've got to own the fact that Jesus said, you're the light. You're the light for these dark times. You're the light for what's going on. You're the light for prejudice. You're the light for war. You're the light for these things. You're the light. And here's the thing that happens. When you shine a light on something, you see things more clearly. How many believe people need to see things more clearly? That's why we need to shine our light on there. Anybody in here ever get one of those makeup mirrors that have a light on them? And then they have a magnifying glass on them too? I do not recommend those. I do not recommend those, because all of a sudden, especially if you're of a certain age, all of a sudden you're just like, I can never go out of the house again. Look at this. Look at this stuff on me. This is terrible. You start seeing wrinkles and brown spots and things. You're just like, when did this come? It's like, get rid of this thing. I can't have this in my house. You know, I have a family member. I won't name her name. Donna. And she has one of those mirrors. And if we're shopping or something, and we're, you know, go like Bed Bath & Beyond, they have those mirrors, she'll stop. She'll be like, I'm like, keep walking. We don't have time for this. We don't have time for this because you just start seeing things so clearly. When you shine a light on something, and that's what we need to do to the world. We need to shine the light on things so people can see things more clearly. So people can see that there is an answer to the problem that they're facing. Amen? People are stumbling around in the dark of ignorance. They're stumbling around in the dark of all kinds of crazy. They're stumbling around. Why? Because we're not taking responsibility that we are the light. Amen? We are the light. We got to own that. We got to quit looking for somebody else to be that and recognize Jesus said, you're it. It's like tag. Jesus was like, you're it. You're it for 2016. You're it. We are the light. Amen? It's not God's thing. God is light, but he's the light in us. Amen? And he said, you are the light of this world. It's our responsibility. We own it, no one else. Our responsibility to carry the light. And here's the thing. My job is to be the light. Be the light. I cannot make people follow the light. That's not my job. It's not my job to make people follow the light. Sometimes we're like, if people won't listen to us, if they won't do what we want, if they won't become like us, we're like, oh, my light isn't working. No, my job is to be the light. Jesus said, you are the light. Jesus is the Savior. I can't make people follow the light. Even Jesus couldn't make people follow him. So we can't be discouraged when people say, you know, what we do is stupid, what we believe is stupid, that we're ignorant. I saw one of my favorite actors. Oh, I was heartbroken. One of my favorite actors started saying how he thinks that all Christians are just stupid people. And I was just like, really? I mean, even if you don't agree with somebody, there's no reason to say that. And I thought, oh, bummer. Now I'm not gonna go see this guy's movie. I'm not gonna go see his movie. Because the thing is that I can't make people follow the light. But my job is to be the light. Amen? My job is to be the light. Let's keep going. In verse number 15, we see this. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Here's the thing. Jesus knew that we were all going to be tempted to hide our light. And I know all of us in here have been tempted to hide our light. Don't beat yourself up about it. Jesus knew that. He knew that in the times we live in, there were going to be times where we would just want to be like, you know, I don't want to get involved. I don't want to do that. I don't want to feel the persecution, all that kind of stuff. And so he knew that. And so Jesus is challenging us not to hold back, not to be embarrassed, not to refrain from boldly declaring our faith. Amen. Now, we got to be Spirit-led, be led by the Spirit. You know, sometimes people just ask for trouble because you're in a situation God never told you to be in. But when we are led by the Spirit, he will open up doors. He will fill our mouths with the right words to say. He will enable us to do what he's called us to do. And really, it's not a lot by just preaching and wagging our finger at people. That's not how it's done. You know how we're the light? Like what we did yesterday. By being different, by being holy. We talked on Wednesday night that we're not supposed to look just like the world. We're not supposed to sound just like the world. Listen, if you sound like everybody else, if your language is not different from everybody else, that's not right. It's not right. And you can get all stiff-necked and give me a dirty look or roll your eyes all you want. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Amen? He said, you're a holy nation. You're a royal priesthood. You are called to be holy, set apart. We are the light of the world. And you know how you dim your light? You look just like everybody else. You sound just like everybody else. You act just like everybody else. If we had you and an unbeliever that didn't know Jesus at all, we wouldn't be able to tell the difference between you at all. And that's not right. The Bible says you are unproductive and ineffective. You are unproductive and ineffective. Paul said about you in Corinthians, he said, you are carnal. You are mere men. You are like everyone else. And we're not supposed to be like that. And when you are like that, you've got a great big light that you just put a cover over. You're not letting the power of God, the word of God, the change that God wants to make in you, change you and change the world. Amen? That's what we're called to be. And so we must daily live, listen to me, as if we're the only Christians in the city. As if we're the only ones. We need to live like we're the only Christian on our job. We're the only Christian in our neighborhood. We're the only Christian in our family. You might be the only Christian in your family. And so how's your light going? Jesus said, listen, don't hide it. Don't hide it. Jesus challenges us. And here's why. It has life or death consequences. Life or death consequences. Because people need to hear what we have to say. If you think about it, this is a hard message, but man, we're in hard times. Heaven and hell are in the balance. Heaven and hell. Those are real places. And I hear people say, how could God send anybody to hell? God does not send anyone to hell. He does everything possible for people not to go there. It was never designed for you or for me. Never. It was never meant for us. Never. Heaven and hell are in the balance. 2 Corinthians 4:3-7 says, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Verse number 5, for we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, the glory of the face of God. That's what our light is for. Our light is to show the gospel. And so we can't cover it up because, you know, especially if you've been saved a long time, you can start forgetting there's a hell. You can start forgetting that there is a life and death consequence when people do not know Jesus. We can begin to forget. But the truth of the matter is, people need Jesus. He is the only way to the Father. But the God of this world will try to blind people and cover their eyes. He'll try to confuse people and say, all roads lead to heaven. That's a lie. They don't. A road called Jesus leads to heaven, and it's the only road. And that's why the Bible says it's a narrow road, because there's lots of other ways to try to be spiritual, but there's only one true way. And it's through Jesus. And so our light is life and death to people. And so we can't cover it up. We can't hide it. It has life or death consequences. And the truth of the matter is, whether we want to believe this or not, when we hide our light, it increases the possibility that people will never know Jesus. And if people don't know Jesus, if they never know him their entire life, they never receive him as Lord and Savior at any point in their life, the Bible says they're going to hell. And we don't like to hear that because we live in such a grace. We live in the dispensation of grace. That means we're under God's grace. And we don't like these heavy truths. We don't like them. But they are true nonetheless. Amen. Amen. They are still true. And that's why it's so important. And here's the thing. How did Jesus say people would see our light? It can only be seen through our actions, our attitudes, and our words. That's the only way it can be seen. Jesus said, let them see, right? Verse 16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. There's no halo. Look at your neighbor and see if they got a halo or a glow. Do they have a glow about them? No. There's no halo. There's no glow. What we say, how we live, how we act, our attitudes and our responses to things, are our words, actions, and attitudes, are they filled with light or are they filled with darkness? Isn't that a good question? Are our actions, our words, and our attitudes, are they filled with light or do we look just like everybody else and we're just filled with darkness? If we were to look at your Facebook page, would we know you were a believer? Right? Would we know? Or would we know? We'd know on Sunday, but come Friday, we have no idea. Right? Because you look just like everybody else. We've got to ask ourselves, our deeds, our actions, our works, our marriage, how we're raising our kids, our temper, our patience, our kindness, our mercy, our love. What does this sound like? Sounds like Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit. This is our light to the world. And we live in dark times. We live in very dark times. And these times, they're prophesied in His Word. The Word tells us, be ready for these times. But Jesus said, you are the light. You are the light. Our works, what we do, it can't save us, but they could be the lifeline to save others. What we did yesterday, that's not going to save us because we can't get to heaven based on what we do. We get to heaven based on what Jesus did. But those things that we do, they can point to Jesus. And that's the whole point. Doing good is not going to get us into heaven, but it is the light that leads others to heaven. 1 Corinthians 10, 31 through 33 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God, even as I try to please everybody in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many so that they may be saved. You know what the biggest hindrance to the body of Christ today? The biggest hindrance. It's not money. It's not time. It's not anointing. It's not power. It's not the word. It's not opportunity. The biggest hindrance to the body of Christ, the biggest hindrance for people not receiving Jesus. You want to know what it is? Hypocrisy. When our words and our deeds do not match. When our words and our deeds do not match. Nobody's expecting us to be perfect, but boy, we need to try to have our words and our deeds match. That what we say, we do. What we preach, we live. Amen? What we preach, we live. What we say we believe, we live it. And that's how our light is going to shine so bright. Hypocrisy. You know that fire that's burning in us? The greater the fire of God in our heart, the brighter our light will shine in the world. When we let the fire that's in us really begin to burn, we keep it stoked up. We keep it fed. We keep it fanned. We keep it going, right? You know what's going to happen? We're going to see this world differently when we allow the light of Christ to shine through us. John 4:35 says, do not say 4 months more and then the harvest. He says, I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for the harvest. When we have that light of God shining in us brighter, we're going to see people different. We're going to see people so differently. We're going to see needs we didn't know existed. And here's the great part. We're going to see solutions. Because how many know God is the answer? He is the answer. What's an answer? It's a solution. God is the solution. And so we got to let that fire burn so that it changes how we see people. It changes how we see the needs that people have. And it puts solutions on the inside of us. You know, I was so impressed yesterday with the Feed the Soul group. That they went out with McDonald's cheeseburgers to just give burgers and pray for people and just love on people. That was the goal. But yet they met a guy who was homeless, who was hopeless. And because they didn't just think, oh, you can't come home with me, so there's no answer. That team was looking for a solution. And by the end of that day, they had reached out to an organization. The organization had contacted him, and now on Wednesday, right? On Wednesday, they're coming and picking him up. Isn't that impressive? But how many of us have just driven by thinking, man, there's nothing I can do? When you have the light of God in you, you find solutions. Amen? Maybe not for everybody, but for somebody. For somebody. See, man, there's a homeless problem in Lake Worth. Yeah, there is. But you know what? One person, a big difference was made because somebody didn't say, well, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I said, man, there's a solution. We got to find out what it is. And they found it. And they put action and they did it. Isn't that powerful? Can't do it for everybody, but they did it for somebody. Because they met a lot of homeless people yesterday and they couldn't take them all home. They couldn't find places for all of them. But for the guy named John, they found a place for. And his life is going to be totally different. Amen? That's powerful. That's powerful. Matthew 25:34 says this, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Verse number 36, I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one, say one.
One
of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Oh, that's so good. Isn't that so good? We've got to get it through our thick heads that we may not be able to do everything, but every one of us can do something. Amen? We can't change the homeless problem in Lake Worth like that, but we changed it a little bit yesterday. And who do we do it for? Jesus said, when you do this stuff for these people, you do it for me. And the greater our love for Jesus is, the greater our light's going to shine. Now, I want everybody to take out your phones. Whatever kind of phone you have, it doesn't matter. Take it out. You don't hear that in church very often. Take out your phone. Take out your phone. We're going to turn. Now, get ready. Because we're going to turn all the lights. Daniel, we're going to turn all the lights off. So it's going to be dark, okay? You okay? It's going to be dark. It's going to be okay. Turn all the lights off. Pretty dark in here, right? Now, I want just this front row. I want you to hold your phone up. Hold your phone up. Turn the light on. Hold it up. Now the second row. Keep going all the way back. Hold your phone up. Some of you don't have your phones. That's good. Good for you. Hold your phone. Now look. Now before, we really couldn't see that well, but now look at all of us. See how much light just a little light will bring? Just a little light will light things up. Now put it. Cover up your light again. Cover it up. Cover it up. Put it down so we can't see it. This is how the world looks. It's dark. There's little specks of light here and there, but we live in dark times. But imagine if every body of Christ, everyone who Jesus said, you are the light, raise your lights up again, would let their light shine. Oh, can you imagine? Can you imagine how different the world would look? The world would look so different. Who's the light? You are. I am. Go ahead, turn the lights back on. When we think about this, it always reminds me of the story of the Good Samaritan. We all know this story. There was a person in need, And he was laying there, and people just walked by. A priest walked by. But yet one person stopped and changed his life. Jesus said, when we do this for all, for the least of these, he says, you do it for me. We need to find that passion, whatever it is. Your passion may not be the homeless. That's okay. Because somebody in here, your passion is. Your passion might be the babies, like Anais, like Nora. They love babies. Your passion might, I don't know, it could be the poverty. It could be feeding people. It could be whatever it is. Take that passion. Take that pull. Follow that pull that God's putting in you. Follow that tug on your heart. Follow it. And don't talk yourself out of it. You say, I can't do much. Can you do something? I know that you can because you are the light. Amen? You are the light. There's so many people at your job that need the light. You know, during graduations, I call it my graduation season because I go to so many graduations. I go to pre-K graduations. I go to middle school graduations. I go to high school graduations, college graduation. If you can graduate from it, I have probably been there. And I'm happy. I'm excited. I love it. Every time I go, I remember one year we had a bunch of seniors in the youth group, and Pastor Scott and I went to like 6 different graduations, and the superintendent of Palm Beach County Schools, he talks at each one, and he does the same speech at each one. And so we were like, I said, now I know how people feel in second service. They've already heard this, you know? Those who have to sit through both, I'm like, you know, they always laugh. Right before I tell my joke, they laugh because they know what's coming, you know? And so one year we went to all these graduations. We heard all these things, but I love graduations. Whether it's pre-K or college or EMT school, nursing school, whatever, cosmetology school, I love them all. Because it represents just a time in someone's life where there's change coming. But I was at a graduation recently, and a young girl told her story, and it has stuck with me ever since the day I heard it. And it was called the Founders Award at this school. And he said the founder of the school got up, and he said, we give this award to someone who has overcome things and who has been through things. And sometimes they tell their story, and sometimes they don't. And so this young, beautiful girl gets up to tell her story. And she had been accepted into NYU Film School. How many know that's pretty impressive? Pretty impressive. She had been accepted there. And she gets up and begins to tell her story to this packed auditorium and all of her classmates that were sitting there. And she begins to tell her story that her father was in the military and it had PTSD. And I believe he died, right? He had passed away. And then she began to tell how her mother was a drug addict. And that eventually she was taken from her home by Child Protective Services. She was removed from her home. And then she was put in foster home after foster home. And then she talked about she finally got into one home. And she begins to tell the story of how she overcame and how she persevered and how now she's going to college and all this kind of stuff. But here's the part that hit me hard. After the graduation, I asked the young man who graduated from that school, I said, did you know her? And he said, yeah, we were in a lot of classes together. And he said, at a time when we didn't have internet, my family, we didn't have internet, and I didn't have a good computer, I would go to the library, and she and I would do our homework together because she didn't have internet either, and she didn't have a computer at home, so we would have to go to the library and do our homework together. He said, so yeah, I knew her. And I asked him this, I said, did you know that about her? And this is a part, it has stuck with me ever since I heard it. He said, I had no idea. He said, I had no idea. I had no idea. He goes, I thought she was just like all the rest of us. And I tell you, that has stuck with me since I heard it. Because here's the thing, we are the light. And how many people are sitting next to us at work? How many people are in our class? How many people are, you know, you just come in contact with them often. You have no idea what they're going through. You have no idea the life they have come out of. You have no idea. They need the light. And Jesus said, you're the light. You're the light. Let's get out of our own problems and start looking around, because there are people that need what we have. Let's pray together. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, first and foremost, we recognize that you are the Savior of the world, that your love for all of us, just like we are, is exactly what we need. If you're in this place today and you're like someone that I talked about in the service, you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. What that means is that you've never opened up your heart and said, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you came down from heaven. I believe that you died on the cross for all my mistakes, and so that I could live life here on this earth with power, forgiveness, and no shame. I believe that. And I want you to come into my life and save me. You've never done that. But today is your day. Today is your blessed day where you can boldly say, Jesus, I want to know you. Doesn't mean we have all the answers. Just means we want to say yes to what Jesus has for us. If that's you today, you want to say yes to Jesus. You say, what do I got to do? Do I got to straighten up? Do I got to clean up? Nope. Let Jesus help you with that. The first thing you need to do is just say yes to Jesus. If you're here today and you want to say yes to Jesus for the first time, just raise your hand up big and tall. When you raise your hand, you raise your heart and you say, Jesus, see me and know that I want you in my life. Anybody like that before we move on? Maybe we're all born again in here. We're all the light. Father, I pray for each one of us here that you would help us to take ownership of being the light. That, Lord, that you would help us to take the responsibility of being the light. That, Lord, you would empower us and help us to be different, to look more like you than the world. That, Lord, that you would help us to be the light to those people at work, in our families, at the grocery store, wherever we are. Let us be, help us to be the light. Because Lord, our hearts in here are to turn it up and to shine even brighter in these dark times. That is our prayer. That is what we want to do. Lord, we want to look and sound like you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Who's the light?
We are.
Amen. We are. All right. I'm so glad you guys came to church today, and I just encourage you tomorrow, Monday morning, who's got to work Monday? Anybody got to work Monday? Raise your hand up if you got to work Monday. When you walk into wherever you work, I just want you to walk in there and say to yourself, I am the light. I got God answers on the inside of me, and God's going to use me today. Now, we've got all of our campers and our youth leaders are going to camp. They're leaving tomorrow. The bus, you got to be here at 8 o'clock in the morning. Be here at 8. I know that's early, but be here at 8 because they're going to go over a few things with all of our campers and talk to you a little bit. And then the bus is coming, and then you're heading off to camp, right? We've been praying all week for our campers that they just have a supernatural experience. But if you're going to camp, would you stand up so just everybody can see your face so they know who to pray for while you're gone this week? Stand up if you're going to camp. Stand up. Look at all these handsome, beautiful faces. Who's going to pray for these guys?
We are.
Amen. We are. Listen, we paid for them to go to camp. We want to get what we paid for. We want them to get what we paid for, right? And we want a supernatural encounter with an amazing God. We want change in their life. We want them to draw closer to God. We want them to have just an amazingly fun time. And we want them to come back knowing and living for God in a greater way. Doesn't that sound good? And I want to say thanks to all the leaders who are going. These leaders take time off from work. It always amazes me how many people want to go to camp. It's so much work and it's so hard. I know we say that, but it's true. And a lot of them take their vacation time to do that. And it just always impresses me so much and moves me, because it's just the unselfishness of these leaders just always touches my heart. And so leaders, stand up just one more time. All the leaders, just stand up. Just give them a big hand. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now listen, make sure you pray extra for Pastor Angel, because he is head of security for 1,200 teenagers. So how many know he needs some prayer? Just stretch your hand towards him, amen. But be praying for him this week. Praying for him, because he's going to need it. All right, we're going to receive our supernatural tithes and offerings.